Yeah, hi, I'm Dr. Joseph Anderson. I'm on faculty at Dartmouth and also at the White River Junction VA in White River Junction.
All right, and Dr. Anderson, we appreciate you being with us and what you do. You've been a busy place throughout this, but talk about early onset, not just colorectal cancer screening, but other things. And when, you know, because so much, if you agree with me, people over the last couple of years, for a multitude of reasons, haven't kept up with a lot of their regular screenings, correct?
Exactly, and I think your point is well taken. First of all, we have a change in guidelines where we're no longer saying start at 50, now start at 45. But that's on top of everybody else not being up to date with their screening because of COVID. Either the institutions were focused on other, you know, appropriate things, or people were reluctant to go to hospitals. Now that the pandemic is coming to an end, that we have to start thinking about screening now. And now we're saying that not only do we want the 50 to and above to be screening, but we also want the 45 to 50.
And, doctor, so basically, someone's 45 years old, should they begin some of these regular screenings? And how often is it? Once a year? Is it biannual?
So the screening age for individuals who don't have a family history or don't have any symptoms, if you have symptoms, you should see your doctor immediately. But basically, at 45, you should get a screening test. And a colonoscopy, if it's normal, could be done every 10 years. And some of the stool tests, like FIT, fecal immunochemical testing, it checks for blood, or stool DNA, they can either be done at year or every 3 years. So it really depends upon the test, and it depends upon the results. And just to your point from before, the early onset colorectal cancer refers to this increase that we see in people less than 50. And essentially, it has to do with something called a birth cohort, where people born after 1960 now have experienced this increased risk of colorectal cancer. And that's the point of trying to screen people at an age of 45. Although people less than 40 are getting cancer, the majority of people that are getting the cancers are in their mid-40s. So that's why we chose 45 as the change. So this is on top of everything else that's going on. So it's important that people don't lose that message.
So 45 is kind of the new 50.
That's the slogan, exactly.
Dr. Joseph Anderson, doctor, medical doctor from the medical school at Dartmouth College. Dr. Anderson, if I can just maybe explore a little bit beyond, because one of my other pet peeves in the last couple of years, doctor, is I personally wish that more of us had talked to our healthcare, our doctors, our PAs directly. You know, we've had, you don't have to get into this, doctor. I advise you don't, actually. It's my show. That's what I do. But we've had so many politicians and policy people that are not medical doctors sort of telling us stuff the last few years. But I think if we had heard from medical doctors, our friends at Portsmouth Regional Hospital, for example, they were great telling us throughout this process, even during the Omicron surge, what they were seeing with who was in the hospital. So if I can talk a little more about cancer with you, are you an oncologist, by the way?
No, I am a gastroenterologist, so I perform the colonoscopies that are used for screening
okay.
and preventing colorectal cancer.
But you see a lot, and I guess my question is, overall, you are seeing younger, slightly younger people who maybe have some history or at risk getting these things. How are we doing overall, though? If you look out the next year or two, are you concerned that these numbers are going to go up, stabilize, get the word out for early screening? What are you sensing and seeing?
I am concerned. If you look at the recent cancer statistics that I helped publish with the American Cancer Society, it's kind of a tale of two cities. If you look at people over 65, the mortality and incidence is going down due to screening, changes in health behaviors. But those less than 50, the incidence is going up and the mortality is going up. The scary part is the 50 to 64-year-olds, the mortality that had been decreasing is now leveling off, and the incidence is increasing. And so that's the aging of this cohort, the birth cohort, and that's people born around 1960. As they're aging, they're carrying this risk, whatever it is, diet, maybe more fructose, maybe more processed foods, maybe obesity. They're now carrying it forward. And on top of that, we know that people 50 to 54 are not screening as high to a point where we want 100%, but certainly 80% would be good. They're not being screened. So you compound all these things, increasing risk. All the effects that we've seen in the past of decreasing incidence and mortality are now turning the opposite way, and we're seeing an increase.
I know this is the multi-trillion-dollar question, Dr. Anderson, but you answered my next question talking about why younger people may be getting more incidence and why 45 is the new 50 if you have some risk to start getting the screenings a little bit earlier or younger. But, Doctor, you've been doing this a while, I imagine, if you're at the medical school at Dartmouth and as a gastro, medical doctor. You're right front and center on the internal medicine side. And this is a question I have, and this is, and I lost a parent at a young age to cancer, and other relatives. One thing I've always been perplexed by, and I know it's a question that's very hard to answer, you've been doing this pretty much your adult life. It's your passion, I imagine, and to make people well and try and help them when they get cancer get better and do the screenings. I guess my question is, do we have any sense today how much of cancer could be triggered either by genetics in your makeup of what some families pass on, environment, stress, diet, or combination? If you had to say, if you're talking to friends, and you're pointing to one lane or two, people start taking better care of themselves. Do we know, do you get a sense yet that we're any closer to know what triggers cancer in some people versus others?
Well, we certainly are doing a better job getting a handle on who's at risk for cancer. We have better ideas of the mutations that carry associated risks, and certainly work that Dartmouth is doing looking with the molecular epidemiology department is very important in this work. But I always like to use the simple analogy of the nurture and nature. Everybody is probably programmed to develop cancer sometime in their life. Some of us may be 100, right? And so if you smoke, that goes down to 90. If you eat fruits and vegetables, maybe you can push it off to 110. So the idea is that there is a genetic predisposition. Mm-hmm. Some people feel that some people who get cancer may just be at the wrong place at the wrong time. There was a study a few years ago in cancer, I believe, that showed that there was, that there was no genetic predisposition. People just got it as a result. But one can really reduce your risk. That's the point. What can you do to reduce your risk? What are the non-immutable factors? Fruits, vegetables, exercise, sleep, keeping trim, minimize alcohol use, and see your doctor, as you pointed out before, so that you can get the right screenings, because many cancers are prevented, and colorectal cancer is one of those.
Dr. Joseph Anderson, we appreciate the time. Get the screening, and early onset stuff can really make a difference. And we thank you. He's with the medical school at Dartmouth College. Thank you, doctor.
Thank you very much.